A bright white light is held aloft by a statuesque woman wearing a long white robe with a blue sash draped around her. She stands on a plinth before a cloudy sky. Columbia, a Sony Pictures Entertainment company. A boy leaps off a jetty towards a lake and is frozen in midair. Lakeshore Entertainment. The traffic helicopter for a local news program flies over Sacramento, California. Columbia Pictures presents, in association with Relativity Media, a Lakeshore Entertainment production, a Stephen Ruther production, a Robert Luketic film. Names appear beside the white silhouetted symbols for a woman, then a man. The symbols have red hearts on them. Catherine Hagel, Gerard Butler, The Ugly Truth. A young woman comes out of her house talking on her phone. A phone rings. The smart, attractive blonde woman, Abby, arrives at work at the local TV station, KSXP.
Morning, Freddie.
Good morning, Abby. You look awfully pretty today.
Oh, is that bad in there?
Good morning.
Morning.
What's your problems?
There are no problems, Joy, only solutions.
The traffic camera is down and we have no B-roll for our traffic segment.
That is a problem. Call Matt at Media Lab. He's got some sky cams and he owes me. Where are my weathermen?
Right here.
Hello! Thank you all for coming. You guys look great. Thanks for being here.
Good. Is there a reason they're all overweight?
Well, if they get the forecast wrong, research shows people are more willing to forgive a fat guy.
Abby, hate to do this to you, but I don't think that I can work with her anymore. It's bad enough I have to take her criticism at home. I'm not going to do it on the air. A man can only endure so much.
Larry, you are not a man. You are a newsman. And newsmen are not defined by the easy times. They're defined by the hard times. Can you imagine Ted Koppel or Tom Brokaw working with their wives as co-anchors? No, because they couldn't handle it. But you, my friend, have balls the size of Volkswagens. Don't think I haven't noticed.
Well, only thought of them as blue of late, but you're right. They're quite sizable, but not disproportionately so. I like to think of them as aesthetically pleasing.
Yeah, I think I made my point.
Are you kidding me right now? Josh, nobody in Sacramento gives a crap about the extinction rate of the Brazilian slugworm. It's not newsworthy.
All right, but knowing which celeb you taunt is in rehab is of vital importance.
You know, the sound of your voice makes
my
hair...
Okay, he is trying to kill me. He knows I can't eat crab.
It's crab rangoon. Who doesn't eat crab rangoon?
Oh, my God. Did anybody see this? Is that a hive?
No, it looks like syphilis. No,
I don't even know what syphilis looks like. They work for my story on hot celebrity STDs.
A control room.
Stand by to go to three.
Yeah, so some catch story gets mushrooms, garlic, exactly.
Garlic?
Yeah,
all
put
right.
The mushrooms in.
All right.
And whatever amount of garlic you want.
Oh, really?
You can't have enough garlic, right?
Oh,
you can.
I certainly can. Do it every night.
I got a nice big spoon for you.
Oh, excellent.
Here you
Thank
go.
You.
A cooking show on a studio set.
Mmm.
Isn't that good?
I have to say, Rocco, this is the best chicken cacciatore I've ever tasted.
I need like it. It's duck cacciatore, actually.
Oh, no.
Did he just say duck?
And it's a great alternative to chicken, and it kind of tastes just like chicken, right?
Mm-hmm.
Duck, like quack, quack, duck?
Okay, get ready to roll to an early break.
Yeah.
Whoa, duck.
Yeah.
Man, we're a chicken household. We really are.
Tell Larry to throw it to Javier while she pulls it together.
Or is it okay?
Good.
Javier, do you like it?
Mmm. Can I take home the leftovers?
You sure you don't want any leftovers?
When we return, our live Skycam traffic update and... Guess who's in rehab this week?
Stand by to roll your
also,
brakes.
Also, you too can adopt your very own slugworm when we come back.
Roll your brakes.
Salt, make it better.
Technical director Cliff turns to Abby.
I don't know how you do it.
Oh, it's just a matter of looking chaos right in the eye and telling it to F off. You guys did great. Thank you.
I think it's time for a new chef on this show. I really do.
Oh, now. Come on. Rocco's been with us.
Abby!
This is upsetting.
Hey, Stuart wants to see you. He's freaking out.
Oh, he had the meetings.
The chef swigs wine from a bottle.
Want some? Yeah, give me that.
Larry has a swig. Abby's boss, Stuart, switches off his monitors.
Have you seen the ratings from yesterday? We got beat by all the network shows, including a rerun of Who's the Boss? The one where the vacuum breaks.
It's just a temporary setback, Stuart. Things will be better tomorrow.
You know, that guy with the cable access show on Channel 83 does better. If we programmed Jerry Springer reruns, we'd do a 9 share at a quarter of the price.
Please don't tell me you're thinking of killing the show.
We're not a family-run station anymore, Abby. I mean, I love you. You're great at what you do, but you got to get me some numbers. And I got 2 daughters in college and a son in beauty school. I don't know how much you know about Vidal Sassoon, but that shit ain't cheap.
I can rally. I will rally.
You do rally. Every day, Abby. But that's what worries me. That even you won't be enough.
In the toilet.
I should not be letting corporate management dictate the content of this show. It's my show. I control it. I should skip the day tonight, stay home, think up some ideas for sweeps.
Absolutely not, Abby. You should be out there observing humanity. Humanity is who watches our show.
Yeah, all 2.47% of them.
You have rescheduled on this guy 3 times. You cancel on him tonight and he's gone. Look, this bone structure. Oh, this could be the bone structure of your future children. Don't you want them to be symmetrical?
You printed out his profile?
What? Yes, these have not been touched in quite some time. I have to live vicariously through your dating life, and I really think that this could be our next boyfriend.
In a restaurant.
Hi.
Hello.
I'm looking for a guy with sandy brown hair, athletic build, blue eyes. He's 5'9", which I know you're thinking is a little short, but he's read The Great Gatsby twice.
Well, which is... technically I'm 5'8½", but I could read The Great Gatsby again if it makes it any better.
Abby sits at a table with the guy.
Hi, can I get some water for the table?
Yeah, a bottle of flat water, please.
Thank you.
Oh, just 1 second. I'm sorry. Did you know that they've done studies that show that tap water and bottled water are basically the same thing? And they recently passed a law where restaurants have to filter their tap water. So it's not really tap water, it's filtered water, which is the same as bottled water, except you don't have to pay $7 for it, right?
I like the way it tastes better anyway. Can I get a scotch on the rocks for that too, please? Thank you.
Oh, yeah.
I thought in your profile it said you like to drink red wine.
Abby takes out his profile.
Printed out my profile.
Actually, my associate producer did. She doesn't like me to not be prepared. Not that I'm ever not prepared. Kudos, by the way, on your comprehensive car insurance plan.
It wasn't in my profile.
No, but it's in your background check.
He looks peeved.
So, tell me about yourself.
Well, what's left to talk about that you don't already know, right?
Good point. All right, well, you know, I actually took the liberty of printing out some talking points in case this happened.
I take it this has happened before?
No. But you have 9 out of 10 of the necessary attributes on my checklist.
Oh, dear God. Okay.
Oh, this is a good one. Let's start with 3, okay?
Later that night, Abby walks past an illuminated fountain. She heads along a path through the pretty ornamental gardens outside her apartment building. She lets herself in her front door and her cat, D'Artagnan, trots over.
Don't ask.
Abby looks thoughtful and a little sad. As she gets ready for bed, a TV plays in her bedroom. D'Artagnan treads on the remote and changes channels.
More on this story when we come back. We'll hear from a zoo official now forced to take a home.
And we're back with the ugly truth, where tonight we're going to be talking about what it is men and women really want. Relationships. Now, I've been looking through some books. Smart Women, Foolish Choices. Men Who Love Women Who Hate Them. And Women Hating Men Who Love Women Who Hate Loving Men. Huh? Billions and billions wasted on psychobabble bullshit. Now listen up, ladies, because I'm only going to say this once, and it is just 3 little words. Men are simple. We cannot be trained. All this men are from Venus crap is a waste of your time and money. You want to be a lonely hag? Then that's fine. Keep reading these stupid books. But you want a relationship, and here's how you get one. It's called a Stairmaster. Get on it and get skinny and get some trashy lingerie while you're at it. Because at the end of the day, all we're interested in is looks. And no one falls in love with your personality at first sight. We fall in love with your tits and your ass. And we stick around because of what you're willing to do with them. So you want to win a man over, you don't need 10 steps. You need 1. And it's called a blowjob. And don't forget to...
He gobbles a marshmallow on the end of a long skewer.
Okay, now, let's take the first caller.
How dare you burn those books? They've helped my personal life more than I can say.
What's your boyfriend's name, princess?
Well... I'm not seeing anyone right now.
My point exactly, Shrek. Next caller, you're on the air.
It's Abby.
So you're saying that men are incapable of love?
Oh, did I burst your little Harlequin romance bubble? What? Come on.
Well, the only thing you burst is your credibility. Men are completely capable of experiencing love.
Okay, I'll bite. Go on. Who's the guy?
What?
The guy. Mr. Wonderful. The one who's so capable of love. Who is he? What's he like?
He's smart. He's handsome, but he doesn't know it. He's successful, but in a job that means something. He loves red wine, picnics, classical music.
This is a guy in America, right? I mean, you're not calling from Europe or something.
He loves dogs, but he's more of a cat person. He never gets up before you on a Sunday morning.
Wait a second. I get it. You're a lesbian.
What?
Well, you must be. I mean, you just described the perfect woman.
Why are you so threatened by these qualities? Is it perhaps because you don't possess a single one of them, and that is the real reason why women aren't interested in you?
Okay. Okay, I'll give you $100 of my own money to go get this guy and bring him down here. Let me meet him.
Well, he's out there somewhere.
Wait a second. You're not even dating this guy?
No, I'm describing a type. I thought that's what we were doing.
What? You don't even know him? Oh, whoa. Okay, now I get the picture. Hold on. Oh, you're a dog.
What?
Well, you must be. Come on, you heard me. I mean, if you were hot, you would be out breaking some poor schmuck's heart instead of spending all your time fantasizing about Mr. Wonderful. Face it. You're ugly.
I am not ugly.
Well... Okay, let me help you out here. You might as well face the fact that you're going to be alone and stop pining away for some fantasy guy you're never going to get.
How can you possibly...
Hey, Lassie, the show's called The Ugly Truth. If you can't face it, don't call. That about wraps it up for this evening. I'm Mike Chadway, reminding you that the truth is never pretty.
How'd the date go?
Well, I was very pleased with the choice of restaurant.
That is so awesome.
Why?
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Now, before I play you this, I should warn you. This guy's a little rough around the edges.
It's the ugly truth.
Face it. You're ugly.
I am not ugly.
Well,
why are we watching this?
Say hello to our new guest commentator. I'm starting him off at 2 segments a week, 3 minutes a pop.
Are you kidding me?
Who the hell is this guy?
His name's Mike Chadway.
And he's an uber moron misogynist who represents everything that is wrong with television and society.
I get crap every time I suggest we do something even remotely fluffy.
Come on. He's got a point of view. We don't have to like it. I mean, we're news people. We're objective. Stone Phillips interviews terrorists. Doesn't mean he likes them. He does it for the ratings.
I have a whole list of ideas to improve ratings. You're going to like it. We don't need him.
We don't need
not
him.
Not at all.
An intimate profile of the mayor.
I like that.
Ooh, I like the mayor.
Fantastic.
The mayor?
Yes, it can be edgy and yet intriguing.
Unless you can get him to bang 3 crack whores and a German shepherd on live TV, no one's going to give a shit.
He slurps a coffee.
Oh, I'm sorry I was eavesdropping out in the hall.
What did I tell you? Isn't this guy great?
Oh, thanks, boss.
You already hired him?
Who's this delightful creature?
She looks at Mike haughtily.
I'm your producer.
Grinning, he shakes her hand.
I like a woman on top.
Ugh, oh, God.
Just kidding.
Oh, yeah.
Excuse me.
Hey, Mike, did you see your office yet?
No,
come on, let me show you. Hey, everybody, take 5. I'll be right back.
Were you all not there last year for our sexual harassment meeting?
Yes, no, were you not there, Larry?
He wasn't sexually harassing me.
Abby paces in her office.
Sir, I'm an award-winning news producer.
You're an award-winning news producer.
You don't knock?
No, I did knock. You didn't answer.
So essentially, your knock was negated by your complete lack of adherence to the social etiquette that follows a knock.
Whoa. You're wild like a fucking top.
Woof, woof. Remember the bark? Last night, a little phone conversation we had.
Yeah! Hey, what do you know? You're not ugly at all.
Imagine my relief.
Well, I want to thank you for getting me this gig. I would never have gotten it without you. You and I, we make good TV.
You make imbecilic trash watched by house-bound inbreds who are so busy with their hands down their pants, they can't change the remote.
I hadn't really been picturing you that way, but it's a nice image.
I do not watch your program. My cat stepped on the remote.
Oh, you want to thank your pussy for me then?
Oh.
She rolls her eyes on the studio lot.
Larry, Georgia, listen to me. I want you to skewer him. I want Mike Chadway to go down in flames. I want Mike Chadway to be nothing but a pile of ash on the seat next to you. I want the janitor to come in and vacuum up the ashes of Mike Chadway with his dustbuster. And when he dumps it in the dumpster outside, I want the rats to vomit and defecate on the ashes of Mike Chadway.
Wow. I thought you were angry and bitter.
No, Larry. That would be my untouched vagina.
Chadway, 20 seconds to air. About ready, Larry?
There's a bird in my dressing room.
I'll take care of it.
A real bird?
Yeah, it's flying around.
Sparrow?
Why is there a bird in your
I don't know what type of bird it is. It's a goddamn bird.
The security here is awful. We're about ready you guys have really got to keep the doors closed.
5, 4, 3.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Larry Freeman. Another beautiful day in Sacramento. And I'm sitting here with a beautiful woman.
Go on.
Right, here we go.
Thank you, Larry. Hi, I'm Georgia
ready
Gordon.
Ready for the single on Georgia.
For years, there have been concerns about lowering television standards, but many believe that this man and his local public access show have brought things to a new low. With that, we welcome Mike Chadway.
How you doing, guys?
Mike, how do you respond to people who say that your show is offensive?
Well, it is. But then again, so's the truth.
The truth about what, Mr. Chadway?
What relationships are really like. Take marriage, for instance. It's about social pressure, status, and sex. If it weren't for these three things, men and women wouldn't even speak.
Oh, dear. Sounds to me like no one's ever loved you, and you're taking that out on the female population.
Good one.
Crossfire.
That was a good one.
Well, while we're making these observations, Georgia, you two project this image of the perfect couple when clearly it's a lie.
Excuse me?
Holy shit.
Break for commercial.
No.
Stuart said keep rolling no matter what.
What? When? This is my show.
Not right now, it isn't.
Come on, Larry. I watched your show for years. You used to be this cool, confident cat. What the hell happened to you? And you, Georgia. I mean, this one's no dumb bunny. She knew the only way she was getting off the weekend shift was by hooking up with you. Then, lo and behold, she became more popular than you did. Ended up with twice your salary.
Come on, Larry, take him down.
And Larry, ready? Hold on, pal. I am very proud of my wife's success.
Baloney you are. You hate her success. You feel emasculated by her. And that screws with your head.
He gets between them.
Which, in turn, screws with your manhood.
What's your point, Mr. Chess?
Yes, Georgia, take control.
Georgia, my point is that your husband hasn't had sex with you in, I'm gonna say, what, 3 months?
Chadway, that is not my fault.
I know.
I mean, come on.
I know, it's her fault.
Why is it my fault? What am I supposed to do, say no to the money so he can get an erection? No.
She just said erection on network television.
All the other networks do it, it's no big deal.
I'm talking about erection!
The erection on Sesame Street.
I agree.
Thank you.
You've economically emasculated your husband to such a point that he's afraid to want you. I mean, sure, you could dump his ass, but honey, have you seen the eligible man in Sacramento? Oh, God. It's slim pickings out there for a woman in her 40s, I can tell you.
Oh,
hold that
God.
Out with George and Mike.
He just talked about her age. She's going to kill me.
What? I mean, you ain't going to do any better than Larry. You just have to let him be a man. Hmm? Let him be a man.
I let him be a man.
You have to let me be a man. Let him be a man.
You have to let me be a man.
Simple as that. Now, you, Frowny McFlaccid, come on.
Oh, God.
I'm ready for a three-shot with those three. Zoom in.
I'm not frowny.
Yes, you are. Move in here and give this beautiful woman a kiss.
Oh, God.
Does that mean what I think it means?
Yes, it does. Kiss her.
No, they're not going
to. Give it to her right in front of me.
In touch. Let me, goddammit, Georgia, let me be a man.
He snogs her.
No!
Oh, zoom in on that, too. Zoom in.
America doesn't want to see this.
And that, my friends, is the ugly truth.
You ready to roll to your break?
Larry throws Georgia over his shoulder and he carries her off.
He's a man, right?
Cut your commercial! Cut your commercial!
That was great. Wasn't that great? I told you that guy was great. Good job, everybody. Wow!
Abby?
Abby's lying on the floor in her office closet.
Found her.
1,143 calls, over 300 emails, 53% of them were women. This guy's a lightning rod.
They liked him?
Liked him? They loved him. 93% positive.
How is that possible?
But I don't know. But I am scaling back the news and giving it to the ugly truth.
Stuart,
I really think this is a mistake. I mean, what do we even know about this guy? Who is he really?
Moved here when he was 10, pitched 2 consecutive Little League championships. It's cute. Voted most likely to get slapped in his senior yearbook, 3 years at San Jose State, salesman of the year at Dobson Medical Supplies in 2004, once arrested for urinating out of a moving vehicle. That is actually incredibly challenging.
Oh, tell me about
it. Never been married, hates asparagus.
Look, let's just keep a smile on this guy's face and we'll both get our contracts renewed.
Frowning, Abby sags.
Congratulations.
Abby pulls the closet door shut. A girl cycles past a garage apartment on a leafy street. Mike walks into the apartment. He dumps his bag on a chair and presses play on his answer phone.
Mike, hi, it's Lauren. I'm having a party on Saturday, and you know what happens when I drink tequila.
Frowning, he crosses himself.
It's me, Nikki. Why haven't you called me? I miss you. I can't stop thinking about your huge...
Who's that?
Rubbing all over my... Dripping...
How's...
Wet.
Mike grabs the answer phone.
How's school?
Mike goes next door with his nephew.
Well, you totally hosed me.
What?
Last week, on your show, you said always be mean to hot girls because they'll want you more. Well, I tried it on Shauna. She cried, and then I got detention.
First of all, don't listen to what I say on my show. Second of all, you're supposed to do that to 25-year-old girls who think they're hot and can get any guy they want, not 14-year-old girls. They're going through puberty. They got enough problems.
Mom said when she was 14, she was the prettiest girl in class.
Well, I was there when she was 14, and let me tell you something. She lied.
Don't listen to your Uncle Mike. He was blind from touching himself inappropriately.
Huh. That's a nice thing to tell your son.
Oh, like he hasn't heard worse on your show. Let's hope you can clean it up now that you're on a network. Congrats!
Mike's sister Elizabeth has a cake for him. The upstairs of Abby's apartment has a balcony. Light streams through open French windows. In her bathroom, Abby runs her fingers through her long blonde hair. The cats buy a broken fishbowl.
D'Artagnan, no, you didn't! No, D'Artagnan, you get back here! Get back here! No, do not! No, no, no!
D'Artagnan trots out of a window.
D'Artagnan!
He's up a tree.
D'Artagnan! Shit!
Abby stands underneath the tree.
All right, I'll just come up.
She climbs.
I'm really not that flexible, D'Artagnan. I'm coming. I got you. Hold on. Hold on. Come here, baby. No, 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 no. Come here, D'Artagnan. Good boy. Oh, good boy. Okay. Okay. You're going to be okay. Oh, I hope we can get down.
She looks across to a neighboring balcony. The French windows are open. Inside, a handsome, muscular guy is wrapping a towel around his waist.
Oh, my.
Abby clamps her hand over the cat's snout and ogles the guy.
Oh, my.
He flosses his teeth and Abby grins.
Ooh. He flosses.
The branch breaks. She hangs upside down. The guy runs out and his towel falls to the ground. Abby covers her eyes.
Sorry. Oh, my God.
Inside.
So you just moved in. That's great. I'm Abby, by the way. Your neighbor from across the way. So you're a doctor. Wow.
An orthopedic surgeon. Yeah, I do a lot of leg and hip stuff, but I do get the occasional foot. Look, your ankle seems to be fine. It's just a mild sprain, so this should help.
Great. Thank you. Well, I guess I'm pretty lucky my cat chose the tree outside your window to climb.
Well, I'm here whenever you need me. Look, I'm going to put my home number on the back of my business card. If your ankle starts giving you any problems, just give me a call.
Great. Thanks.
D'Artagnan cozies up to the guy.
Oh, wow. That's so weird. He doesn't usually like men.
Well, you know, dogs are great, but I'm a cat person.
Abby's mouth hangs open in a big toothy grin. Her eyes twinkle.
Well, I guess I'll get going then.
Yeah.
Abby's transfixed. The guy points to the door.
Yeah. Thanks again for saving my life.
Anytime.
Okay.
Okay. Bye.
He He reopens the door. Abby's dancing for joy.
You forgot your cat.
Right. Hey, it's better on me.
Look. Yes, yeah. It's gone now.
Okay.
All right. Bye.
Okay.
Thanks again.
Good night.
On set.
You are not going to believe how perfect he is.
It's magical.
Oh, you have no idea.
Well, how did you leave it? I mean, did he ask for your number?
No, but he gave me his. So what do I do? Should I call him? And if I do call him, what should I say?
Okay, take a breath.
Uh-huh.
And please, sweetheart, no tap water.
Tap water?
Don't bring it up.
You've got naughty eyes. Anyone ever tell you that?
Naughty everything.
Hold the thought.
No, hey, don't get in trouble.
Okay.
The makeup girl goes.
Bye, Karen.
Keep it clean. Keep it moving. Stick to the script. You are on a live affiliate news program. You do not have the luxury of using the words blow and job in the same sentence. If you say anything scatological, you will be fired.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Because I kind of thought that you were the one that was going to get fired if you don't keep me happy. Yes, I've got a list of demands I would like to make after the show, and let me just warn you, they're going to be scatological.
Abby roughly forces an earpiece into Mike's ear.
Ow. You know, just because you look pretty today, I won't mention the misguided phallic rage you just displayed.
You hear my voice? Just do what I say.
Promise you'll talk dirty?
Good morning, Sacramento. I'm Larry Freeman.
And I'm Georgia Bourdonnais.
And I'm Mike Chadway. And this is The Ugly Truth, where we'll be taking a few minutes every day to talk about men, women, and relationships. Let's start with men. Men are simple. To illustrate my point, here we have a classic romantic setting. We have candlelight, champagne, and even your own personal violinist. Now, over here, we have something quite different.
This isn't on my left.
Follow me.
Is the second over?
Outside.
Where the hell's he going?
Follow him. Follow him.
Go with him, remote. Go with him, remote one.
Babes, wrestling, in Jell-O.
Oh,
Jell-O. Abby. There's people calling and freaking out.
Sit down!
Turn the monitor up. Let's just take a quick survey and see which option the men out there would pick. We have classical music and candlelit dinner, or semi-naked chicks wrestling in strawberry-flavored goo.
The chicks pull it in.
All right, if we're gonna do this, we might as well milk it. Two, get ready to go wide. One, tight on his hand. Lick the Jell-O off her finger. Lick the Jell-O off her finger. Just do it.
Mike licks the red Jell-O off one of the girl's fingers and gives an approving nod.
I was wrong. It's cherry. Back to you in the studio, Georgia. Bye.
Coming up, we're going to visit the aquarium and see how Penny the Porpoise is doing. Can she clear that 10-foot pole with a ball on her nose when we come back?
Well, when we come back.
Abby's taking deep breaths as Mike comes in with the bikini babes.
Chemistry. I smell for me.
The babes head off.
Great job, ladies. I can still taste you. You know what I mean.
Do you realize that I once had the Archbishop Desmond Tutu on this show?
Who's that?
I can't even demonstrate how far I've fallen because you're not smart enough to get the references.
Hey, wait. I thought we were a great team back there. You were the one that told me to lick the Jell-O.
You understand how much I hate myself for that. It was cheap titillation. I'm now going to broadcasting hell right behind the naked weather girl from Canada.
She walked off.
Seriously? There's a naked weather girl. Hey, can we get her?
Stuart.
You have to do it for the ratings, Abby. Think of my son. My son, who had a dream of being a cosmetician. Think about him. Think about Joy. Just do it for me.
Today, it'll be partly sunny with a cloud cover moving in from my left breast. Low pressure systems are moving up, so expect a cold front.
Abby wakes up from her naked weather girl nightmare.
Watch Mike Chadway on Sacramento AM, giving us the ugly truth. Each and every day at 9 o'clock, right here on Channel 2.
God. Abby and Joy are in the tea break area at the office.
I used to really like caviar until I found out it was made out of fish shakes.
Yes.
Did you know that?
Caviar's revolting.
I was ready to get it.
Morning, ladies.
John.
Yesterday's ratings.
Ah, oh, thanks, John.
Abby and Joy look at the ratings.
Guess I should be happy about this, right?
Yeah. Yeah. You never got a 12 share before.
I feel dirty.
Mike walks in.
Hear about the ratings?
Yes, I am the producer.
Well, and did you hear the corporate's coming next week? Take me out to dinner?
Oh, yeah. Let's hope you can chew with your mouth closed.
Why do you hate my guts?
Your innards are of no consequence to me. It's what you represent.
Oh, you hate the truth.
Your skewed perception of male-female interaction is not the truth.
But your imaginary boyfriend's the truth.
For your information, I happen to mate him.
Well, I hope he's real this time, because otherwise this is just sad.
Oh, he's real. He's very real. Mm. Not to mention stunningly handsome, morally sound. He's a surgeon, an orthopedic surgeon.
Mm. Well, you know what that means.
What?
I'd stick his finger up some guy's butt in medical school.
You disgust me.
Tall, thick-set Mike follows Abby to her office.
So, did Butt Boy ask you out?
Not yet. We're taking things slow, getting to know each other first. Why am I talking to you about this?
In other words, he didn't actually ask you out.
Sitting at her desk, Abby gives Mike a challenging look, picks up a card and the phone, and dials.
What are you doing?
Hi, this is Abby Richter calling for Dr. Anderson. Yes, I'll hold.
What are you doing?
Shh,
are you calling?
Shh,
no.
Shh.
Dr.
Shh.
Anderson.
Hi, Colin. This is Abby, your neighbor from last night.
Mike grabs a phone to listen on.
Hey, everything okay?
How's the ankle treating you?
Couldn't be better. I was just calling to let you know how much I enjoyed meeting you last night.
Thanks.
We should go out for dinner sometime.
Oh.
There is a new French bistro in town and an art opening that got amazing reviews. So I was thinking we could go on Friday.
Friday. Wow.
Would Saturday be better?
Actually, Abby, the thing is, I haven't really settled in yet.
Mike hangs Abby up.
What the hell are you doing?
I'm saving you. He was blowing you off.
He wasn't blowing me off.
Expecting you to call him, and when you don't, he'll call back.
How do you know?
Because I know him and operate. If you want it to work out with this guy, then you'll listen to me and you'll do exactly as I say. You've probably already done irreparable damage with your psycho-aggressive control freak phone call. It might even be too late. And if you do salvage the situation, you'll never be more than Abby, his desperate neighbor.
I'm not desperate.
Mike flops into a chair.
Why did you think I sounded desperate?
Listen to you. Desperately asking me if you sound desperate.
Oh!
Okay. Although you won't admit it, you know that I know what I'm talking about.
Sure, call, dude.
Oh, fine, what do I do?
Pick up the phone and say, hey, Doug.
Why would I...
Just do it.
Hey, Doug.
No, this is Colin.
Oh, my God. I'm so sorry.
Who's, Doug?
Nothing serious.
Just a guy I'm seeing. It's nothing serious.
Oh, okay.
Hang on a second.
Hang on a sec.
Sure.
Mike puts the phone on hold.
Now what?
I just make him wait. If he's still holding on after 30 more seconds, you may actually have a chance. No one's going to wait for somebody they're trying to blow off.
You better be right about this.
Just give me a little bit of time. I'm going to make this guy your bitch.
I don't want a bitch. And Colin would never be a bitch. He is a well-rounded man capable of mature emotions and deep, abiding love, things which you know not of.
Maybe not, but I do know about lust, seduction, and manipulation, things that you know not of. Abby, I'll make you a deal. If you do exactly as I say, and you get this guy, then you'll quit giving me shit and you'll work with me. You know as well as I do that we can make this show huge.
And if it doesn't work, what do I get?
He glances aside.
Then I'll quit.
You're really that confident?
He nods and looks at the timer on Abby's phone display.
It's been more than 30 seconds.
Abby looks thoughtful. At the hospital, handsome, clean-cut Colin keeps holding.
All right, deal. Now what?
Always make an impression. Let's get a move on. We have work to do.
But what about the...
In 5 seconds, he'll call back. Come on.
Nurse from McDonald's? Amazing.
In a cafe.
Rule number one, never criticize.
Even if it's constructed?
Never. Men are incapable of growth, change, or progress. For men, self-improvement ends at toilet training. Huh. Hmm. Right, rule number two. Laugh at whatever he says.
What if what he says isn't funny?
That's irrelevant. A fake laugh is like a fake orgasm.
Fake orgasm is good?
No, but a fake orgasm is better than no orgasm at all.
Fake orgasm is no orgasm.
Only to you. So you're not the only person in the room, you know. Let's not be selfish. Now that was perfect. Real or fake?
You'll never know.
In a boutique, they look at dresses.
Rule number three, men are very visual. We have to change your look.
What's wrong with my look?
Abby, you're a very attractive woman, but you are completely inaccessible. You're all about comfort and efficiency.
What's wrong with comfort and efficiency?
Well, nothing, except no one wants to fuck it.
A saleswoman.
Hello. May I be of assistance?
Yes, you may. We need that. Cocktail dresses, tight jeans, and some bras. It'll make my friend's breasts sit up and say hello.
They're not saying hello now? What are they saying?
Actually, they're giving off more of a passing nod rather than an outright greeting. You know what? Why don't you try this on? I think this would be wonderful.
Now that is a bra. Mm-hmm. Boobies in this thing say, put me in your mouth. I taste good.
I'm actually wearing one right now as we speak.
Abby holds a dress against herself.
Length is very important. We need short enough to see some thigh, but not so short to see badge.
Mm. Badge says you're trying too hard.
You think?
Jeans are all about the curvature of the ass. You've got the raw materials. Now all you need is the proper presentation.
Just tell me I have a nice ass.
God, you always have to be so crass.
On the way home.
Rule number four. Never talk about your problems, because men don't really listen or care.
Some men care.
No, some men pretend to care. When we ask you how you're doing, it's just guy code for let me stick my dick in your ass.
Oh,
I know you think Colin is above it all, but trust me, he's a guy. If he's even remotely into you, he's probably thought about each one of your orifices at least 10 times.
I love how you assume all men are as perverse as you are.
Oh, I don't assume. I know. Wait. We need to make one more stop.
Why? I have tons of stuff.
Nah, we have to make your hair longer. Men like something to grab onto other than your ass.
Oh, my hair is fine. There is nothing wrong with my hair.
Abby, a ponytail implies that you are either operating heavy machinery or emptying the litter box. Neither of those things inspires an erection.
Well, why is it my responsibility to inspire an erection? Why isn't that his job?
Shut up.
Sitting in Abby's living room, Mike reaches down the side of the chair and picks up some knitting. He frowns and quickly dumps it back on the floor. Abby comes downstairs looking extremely sexy. She wears black stilettos and a figure-hugging low-cut black dress that stops at her knees. Her long blonde hair hangs loose in flowing curls.
Well, what do you think?
Not bad.
Just, I don't want to be perceived as a bimbo, I mean...
And I don't want you to be a bimbo. You have to be two people, the saint and the sinner, the librarian and the stripper. On one hand, you have to push the guy away with a cold indifference. And on the other, you have to be a sexually teasing tornado.
She smirks.
Now, we have to teach you flirting.
I know how to flirt.
You know how to flirt. Oh, my name's Abby, and I love reading Tolstoy. I also love cats, gardening, and romantic picnics. I don't think so.
Hey, babe, you wearing any underwear?
Hey, you know what? I wouldn't say that, and I wouldn't grab ass.
What's wrong with the little ass grabbing? I mean, what's it there for if you're not me to grab it?
Whoa.
You're just a set of orifices and a pair of tee-toss.
You are a deeply, deeply disturbed person.
Maybe I'm just a really good student.
Would you stop doing that?
Doing what?
Running your finger down there, over me.
Why? Is it turning you on?
Maybe.
It's weird. I think I kind of like it.
Really?
She strokes his chest.
Sucker.
I knew it. Okay, no teaching the teacher. Come on.
Who is it?
It's Colin.
I'm not ready for this. Am I ready for this? I'm not ready for this.
Shh. Okay, keep the conversation under a minute. Now go.
Under a minute.
Yes.
Under a minute.
Wait.
He slaps her bum.
You're such an ass.
Mike crouches behind the couch.
Hey. Wow, you look great.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, it's just doing the dishes.
So, what happened to you today?
What do you mean?
Well, you put me on hold and you never called me back.
Oh my God. Was that you?
Yeah.
So sorry.
It's okay.
Colin, would you mind actually giving me a call a little bit later? I'm just so busy, gotta get back to those dishes.
Okay, Abby, wait.
What now?
No, that's good. Make him suffer.
Make him suffer. Suffer.
Abby, I was wondering if you'd like to go to the Devil's game with me on Saturday.
Mike smiles and gives Abby the thumbs up. Abby does a little victory dance, punching the air. At the baseball game, the pitcher pitches and the batter hits. As Abby and Colin walk to their seats, Mike talks to Abby on an earpiece.
Okay, I have a visual. Not if you can hear me.
He sits nearby.
Just relax. It's gonna be fine.
I do exactly what I tell you, when I tell you to do it, okay?
She munches popcorn.
You follow baseball?
Do something non-committal.
An exaggerated shrug.
You okay?
I'm fine.
That was a little over the top. Nice try.
Well, thanks.
For what?
Well, thanks. For being you.
You're welcome.
The batter sprints round the field and the fans stand up excitedly. Colin tries to get the attention of a food vendor.
Excuse me.
A girl grins at Mike.
Oh my God, you're Mike Chadway. I love you.
Hey, buddies, what the hell?
Hey, dude, what the fuck?
Dude, what the fuck?
What?
No, I'm not talking to you.
I'm not talking to you.
Okay, did I do something wrong?
No, stop, listen. Tell him you saw him looking at another girl.
I saw you. I saw you looking at another girl.
Who?
That girl, right there.
I was trying to get us a couple hot dogs.
Oh.
Two. Thank you.
Okay, we need a quick recovery.
Make sure you put the hot dog in your mouth nice and slowly.
She lifts the hot dog to her lips.
Men like watching.
Penis-shaped food go into a girl's mouth.
Shocked, she spills a drink in Colin's lap.
I'm so sorry.
Oh,
no,
God. It's okay, really.
I'm so sorry. You know what? I can get this out. I'm sure I can. What kind of fabric is this?
I don't know. Cotton?
Cotton? Oh, cotton's the worst. Well, actually, leather's the worst. And then right after that would be suede. I still need to get it out. Oh, what?
A cameraman films Abby as she rubs the stain. Her head is bent over Colin's crotch, and her hair swishes back and forth, making it look like she's doing something quite different.
Where? There! Right there!
Abby, you might want to look up.
She looks up and sees herself in a heart-shaped video screen above the scoreboard, the kiss cam.
Way to go, Abby.
Abby and Colin walk home. Mike's hiding in the bushes.
Okay, got you. I'm in position.
Can't say today was boring.
You're being nice. I embarrassed you.
No. You're just, not what I'm used to.
I know.
No, you know what? Actually, it's a good thing. You know, I'm used to women I can figure out in 5 seconds. But I can't do that with you.
He's an idiot. I figured you out in 2. Now tell him goodnight and stick your tits out. I'm gonna give this one last shot.
Well, goodnight then.
She turns to go. Colin grabs her arm, pulls her close, and gives her a lingering kiss. Mike stares, open-mouthed. Colin smiles at Abby.
That definitely made up for my wet crotch.
Me too. No, scratch that. I didn't have fun.
Yeah. I'll see you later.
Yeah.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
They go to their apartments, which are opposite each other.
Night.
Night.
Abby waves a giant foam hand that she picked up at the game. Colin goes into his apartment. Abby runs along the path to Mike and gives him a hug.
You did it!
It was you.
No.
Don't ask me why, but I think he likes you.
He's such a great guy, right?
Yeah, he's dreamy.
Yeah, and he fits all 10 of the criteria on my checklist.
Right. No worn items 1 through 9, something to do with him pretty much being gay.
I'm gonna ignore that, because I am in such a good mood.
Yeah, I heard. Wet crotch.
Abby runs joyfully to her apartment. Mike walks off. On the show, he's wearing a gorilla suit. A video screen behind Larry and Georgia shows monkeys having sex. Abby and Joy watch a monitor.
Of all the primates, bonobo monkeys are the closest relatives to human beings, both genetically and socially. Especially when it comes to sex.
They use sex as a way to end an argument. One of my favorite techniques as well. In fact, when they come upon a new food source, they have a gangbang in order to decrease tension and provide
small
for a
person on sex. Thanks.
Mike's nephew, Jonah.
No. This is not for children.
It's okay. I know.
sperm.
You do.
Sit on their asses all day and boss their men around.
Sounds like a great argument for evolution, if you ask me. And that, my friends, is the ugly truth.
And we're out.
Great job, Mike.
Thank you. See you guys later.
Yeah, I've got an adult male bonobo monkey in my pants.
I'd like to see that.
Hey, what are you doing here? I told you no watching the show, especially live.
I need some emergency advice. Tracy MacGyver asked me at the Sadie Hawkins dance. Is it dorky if I say yes?
Dorky? Hell no. Are you kidding? You're ahead of the game. Women are coming to you. You know how cool that is? Relish this moment, okay? Now get the hell out of here. I'll see you at 5.
Okay.
We'll celebrate.
Don't forget the pizza, King Kong.
Hey, have I ever?
He lives with you?
Well, next door, with my sister.
Oh.
He's my nephew.
Oh.
Cute kid.
Yeah.
Here, do me.
The gorilla suit.
Okay, so guess what? Colin called. He wants to get together then.
She jumps up and down, grinning.
Oh, Lord.
So how long should I wait to have sex with him?
Well, the more you make him beg for it, the more you're going to keep him on the hook. So do everything else but then show him that beneath that control freak exterior of yours, that there's a sexual deviant waiting to be unleashed.
No, I'm not a sexual deviant. Mm-mm.
Good point. I'm guessing you've been out of practice for what? A year?
No. No, 11 months.
God. 11 months. How do you live? Come on. So how often do you,
Do I what? Do I what?
You know, flick the bean.
What bean?
Your bean. Flick it.
Oh! Gross, that's what you call it. What is wrong with you?
No, well, actually, I call it masturbating, but I thought that might offend your delicate ladylike sensibilities. So how often do you flick it?
I don't know how often do you flick it.
Well, you're only asking me that so you can picture me flicking mine while you flick yours.
Oh, no. I would never picture you while I do that, which is not something I do. I don't do that. Not ever.
Yes, you would.
No.
Never?
No. No, I find it impersonal.
Abby, what could be more personal than you flicking your bean?
Oh, God, just don't see myself that way, okay?
Okay. Well, I do. Come here. Well, you better start. Because if you don't want to have sex with you, why the hell are we calling?
Abby steps out of her apartment. On the doormat is a gift bag. Abby picks it up and looks around, frowning. She takes an envelope out of the gift bag and goes back inside.
What is this?
What is this, baby?
She opens the card.
What? What, baby?
It reads, "This present isn't for you, it's for your bean, Mike."
What is this? What is this, D'Artagnan?
She takes a box from the gift bag.
Astral One.
She opens the box.
Oh, vibrating brief. Wow.
It's a pair of remote-controlled vibrating briefs. Abby stands in front of a mirror and applies lipstick. She opens her phone and reads a text from Colin, running late.
Great.
Abby perches on the arm of a chair. She sips a glass of white wine, then glances at the vibrating briefs and considers for a moment. Abby smiles, wobbles her head as if to say, "What the heck?" and stands up. She reaches under her white dress and pulls down her briefs. As she does so, D'Artagnan the cat trots past and climbs onto a chair. Abby picks up the black lacy vibrating briefs and puts them on. Abby pulls up the briefs and straightens out her dress. D'Artagnan the cat stares at her as she picks up the small cylindrical remote control unit.
He said he was running late.
She puts her briefs and the box for the vibrating briefs behind a cushion, stuffs the remote control in her handbag, and opens the door. Mike and Stuart.
Good. You're ready.
For what?
The dinner with corporate. Didn't you get my email?
No, and I can't. I have a date with Colin.
You can't go because you have a date.
Well, you have no idea how hard those are for her to get.
She smiles bitterly.
Well, then let's pick him up on the way. Come on, let's go, right now.
Come on. Let's go.
In Stuart's car.
Sorry to hijack your date, brother.
No worries. You're a producer as well?
No, dude. I'm the talent.
So you're an anchor, then?
No, I do the ugly truth.
Hasn't he ever seen our show?
Come on, Stuart. Our show's way too lowbrow for Colin. He's a doctor.
Yes, that's right. He is.
He doesn't want to hear about things like implants and oral sex.
You talk about oral sex?
Oh, look, we're here.
Executives are gathered in a restaurant.
I invited the Jello twins.
Yeah, I was good thinking.
Well, certainly can't hurt.
Ladies, you look quite fetching.
Mike puts his arms around the bikini babes.
Hey, gang's all here. Hey, Harold, Bob, you remember Abby, right?
Hi.
We all know Mike Chatway. And who are these lovely ladies?
Ooh, something tells me we won't be talking about the news tonight.
That's right. Our table's waiting, shall we?
Come this way.
Mike, buddy, you're doing a hell of a job.
Oh, yeah, I can't couldn't agree more.
See, that's a good one.
That is wonderful.
Thank you.
They sit round a table with the executives.
So, you guys here to give me a raise or what?
Abby kicks Mike. As she does so, she knocks over her bag and the remote control falls out.
Oh, that's my guy. Always with the jokes.
A kid finds the remote control unit for the vibrating briefs on the floor and picks it up.
Yeah. No, really. We are very excited about this year's rating increases, and we're hoping that in the next quarter we can... Oh, God.
What's wrong?
The young boy switches on the remote, and Abby squirms.
Can you... Excuse me. Shit.
Sorry, she's...
Abby and Mike look under the table.
What are you doing? I'm looking for the remote.
What remote?
For the... Oh!
The boy shakes it, and Abby stiffens.
The underwear.
Oh, are you okay?
Yeah.
Abby squirms, crosses her legs, and points at her food.
Yeah. This ceviche, it's quite possibly the best I have ever tasted. Oh, yeah, I'm going to ask the chef for the recipe, please.
Abby, hold on. Tell Harold about the new teaser campaign we're starting next week. You're going to love this.
Sure. Well, they're 15 seconds every hour on the hour. Yep.
Mike sees the boy with the remote.
They're so. You tell them, Mike. You should tell them. Yes, you tell them.
Actually, I was really enjoying the way you were telling them. It was great.
She glares at him.
You were telling them.
He winks.
What's in ceviche? They're unlike anything you have ever felt. I mean, seen. And they're of my compelling and ugly truth. And they are just so cutting edge. So fantastic. Oh, God. Oh, so great. Oh, God. Yeah. You're gonna.
Well, gotta love her enthusiasm, right?
I'm gonna use the restroom if you'll excuse me.
Mike grabs the remote from the boy.
Sorry, buddy. It's my toy.
Abby grabs it.
Did you know he had it the whole time?
Not the whole time, just part of the time. I figured I should let you finish.
How kind.
They lean on a railing.
Thanks for coming tonight. To dinner. That kind of coming.
Mm-hmm.
They glance at the rest of the group.
He likes you, by the way. Colin. I can tell.
Really?
We ready to go?
Yeah.
I know Abby is. Great.
Let's go.
Take care. Thanks.
Okay.
Mike's gaze is fixed on Abby and Colin as they go. Stuart comes over.
Well, that went well, I think. Sure did.
A country road lined with lush green trees dappled with sunlight. Colin drives along in his silver BMW convertible with Abby beside him. They smile and chat. They head along a winding road through mountains, across a steel-girder bridge, and through rolling countryside. Sitting on rocks beside a creek, Abby and Colin have a picnic. They clink glasses and drink wine. Colin teases Abby with some caviar, then pops it into her mouth. He looks away. She chews, winces, spits the caviar out, and grimaces. Abby quickly wipes her hand across her mouth, composes herself, and smiles at Colin. Abby and Colin walk barefoot over rocks spanning the creek. He wraps his arms around her and they share a lingering kiss. In a coffee shop, Colin buys coffees for Abby and Joyne. Grinning girlishly, they go to a table. As Colin pays, Joyne mimes giving him a good scene to, clenching her fists and thrusting her groin. On set, Mike's spooning chocolate into the mouth of a sexy babe. A man delivers a bouquet of red roses to Abby. Her mouth hangs open and she and Joy do a little dance. Seeing Joy and Abby so excited, Mike's face falls. He turns back to the babe and sees his smeared chocolate over her face. Distracted, he wipes it off. Mike and Abby sit in the SF Saloon and Grill. Abby's on the phone.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, just conference me when you get hold of her. Okay, Mike. All right, so we have the Balloon Festival coming up, and I thought for sweeps it might be nice to do a segment on how men are full of hot air. Right? It's good, right?
No.
No. Well, we should still do some stuff on location, because you're great when you're interacting with people.
I'm sorry. Did you just say I'm great?
She smiles at him.
Yeah, kind of are.
Back at you, babe. So tell me this. Why hasn't some fancy New York show stolen you away?
Oh, I much prefer Sacramento to New York.
Come on. This is like being a big fish in a little pond, huh?
No. No. And Sacramento isn't really a pond. It's more of a lake or even an estuary. And it's a great place to raise a family. Really good school systems. The parks are clean and well-maintained and safe. And there's a much lower divorce rate here than there is in New York.
Mike's checking out an attractive woman wearing a crop top who's standing at the bar drinking a shot. Abby looks round at her.
Yes, well, thank God Colin would never be into a woman like that.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. Colin only likes women of quality, huh?
That's a trait to be admired, not mocked, man whore.
Man whore? Why am I a man whore?
I've seen you with the Fun Bag twins, remember?
You saw me what? Oh, you saw me introduce them to some network executives? They want to be actresses, baby. I mean, who am I to kill their dream?
Such a generous man. Now you're telling me you've never slept with them.
Ah, well, no, I didn't say that.
That's my point. Men, or man whores, prefer women in slutty clothes who suck lots of cock.
Every man wants that. And for your information, I only slept with the one who could read. Wait a second, did you just say cock?
Yes. Yes, I did. I can say cock. You don't own the word. Cock. 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 Cock.
Okay, I get it. A week ago, you were crying at the thought of a vibrator. Now you're cock this, cock that, cock, cock, cock.
He stares at her intensely.
You slept with Colin, didn't you?
No. No. We didn't. We're saving that for this weekend. He's taking me to Lake Tahoe.
Abby drinks her wine. Mike frowns, taken aback.
Wow. Wow. Well, here's to overturning assumptions, huh? I'm really a man of discriminating taste, and you're a foul-mouthed slut.
Thank you.
Mike looks troubled. Abby watches Mike on the monitor.
So, there you have it. Never assume a girl is easy or assume she's a prude. There are many layers in between. And it's your job, gentlemen, to peel back those layers and figure out exactly what type of woman you're dealing with.
That sounded almost enlightened.
Because once you do peel back those layers, my friends,
Her lady garden awaits.
And he's back.
And I'm pretty sure you're going to want to fertilize that patch of petunias.
Well, thanks, Mike. Coming up after this message, Javier tells us if your petunias are going to see any rainfall this weekend.
I sure hope mine do.
I want to go home, but let's go over this script right now.
Yeah, let's get it done really quickly.
Okay. Hurry on with the layers.
There he is.
Hey, what's up?
Good news. You're not going to believe this.
What?
I got you on the Late Late Show with Craig Ferguson. They want you as his guest.
Craig Ferguson wants me on his show? You're shitting me.
I am not shitting you.
Oh, yeah.
We made it.
Yes! Abby steps up.
Hi. Who are you?
Oh, this is Rick.
I'm his agent.
Since when do you have an agent? And since when is it okay to book late night without the producer's approval?
Actually, it's late. Late. It's too late. And since he became the hottest personality on morning TV, have you seen this guy's ratings?
Yes. Yes, I have.
Yeah, okay. Anyways, you leave tonight. It's all set.
Cool.
Come on, let's go. Oh, my God.
Abby frowns. She goes to see Stuart in his office.
Joy said you wanted to see me?
I just found out that Mike's being offered a job at a CBS affiliate in San Francisco at twice the pay. Craig Ferguson is his audition.
You can't be serious.
Oh, I'm serious. Now, if Bob and Harold find out about this, we're dead. Now, I need you to fly out there and talk him out of it.
I'm going to Lake Tahoe this weekend.
Just don't let him know that you know beforehand. Go ahead and let him do the show and get us our publicity and then convince him that he needs to sign on with us for the next 3 years. That's all we can do.
She rolls her eyes. Los Angeles, the expensive modern facade of the Century Plaza Hotel. Abby arrives outside the entrance in the yellow cab.
Yeah, Stuart, I'm pulling up. I'm going to try to catch him before he goes. Okay, I'll call you back.
A bellman opens the door and Abby gets out.
Thank you. Hello, little stupid penis face. You would still be on cable access if it weren't for me. Here, you want to move to CBS?
Is everything okay, miss?
Yes, I'm practicing my speech.
Abby walks through the lobby.
Abby, what are you doing here? I thought you were going to Tahoe. You couldn't spend a day without me, could you?
Oh, yes, I just can't get enough of your sparkling wit and charm. Stuart thought you needed a producer more than I needed to get laid, so come on, I've got to check in. We leave in 5 minutes. 5 minutes. Tick-tock.
Yes, dear.
They're driven through town.
Okay, so let's go over the pre-interview questions.
I'm sorry you didn't get to spend time with little Colin this weekend. And by little, I don't mean undersized, although I highly suspect that's the case.
Colin's penis. That's what you want to talk about right now?
Huh?
Because I thought maybe we should talk about what you're going to say on the show. Yeah. Okay. So tell me, Mike, how did the ugly truth start?
Well, Mr. Irish Craig Ferguson, I had a sales job where I was driving around a lot listening to talk radio. I started calling in, and then I realized I'm smarter than everybody else. Just ask my producer, Abby. She thinks I'm a genius on days when she's not sexually frustrated.
Ah, yes. Thousands of lives have been enriched by your wisdom.
Excuse me, lady, but you have a boyfriend right now because of me.
Hey, it may have started because of you, but it's lasted because of me.
Great. So you're acting like your normal control freak psycho self again.
I am not a control freak.
When you checked into the hotel, did you or did you not insist on getting an eastern-facing room on a floor not below 7?
I like rising with the sun and a few.
My point is that Colin likes the Mike version of Abby, not the Abby version of Abby. So don't go knocking my words of wisdom when you're living proof that they work.
I can be having sex right now.
Right this way, please.
Dude, this is awesome. You are about to go on national television.
Okay, this isn't helping, Rick.
Just don't do what you always do.
What do I always do?
You entertain millions of people with your moronic ideas, and they love you for it.
I think that may be the nicest thing you ever said to me.
You're welcome.
Next up, here to tell us the ugly truth about men and women is Mike Chadwick. Everybody, Mike Chadwick. Mike. Come on up.
Hey, howdy, folks.
All right, Mike, welcome. Now, listen. Men, we men, I think I can say we men, not necessarily we men, but men of all sizes.
No,
we're not exactly known for our expertise in matters of the heart.
But I hear you have some very interesting ideas and theories. What advice would you give to the good people out there that are looking looking for love?
My advice would be don't do it. I mean, try to find lust instead. It's a lot easier and a lot less messy. Blue balls, they only last a few hours, but a broken heart, that can last years.
Abby watches, smiling.
Goodness me. Tell me then, what's her name?
Who?
The woman that screwed you up. She must have been a doozy.
Mike looks uncomfortable, then forces a smile.
Well, like I said, better a floozy than a doozy.
La Noche Cubana restaurant. Mike walks up to a hostess.
Hi, that was good friend Abby who returned. Wow.
She leads Mike away. The colourful restaurant is decorated with palms. Abby sits in a booth overlooking the dance floor where couples salsa. She's on the phone to Stuart.
Did you get any hours?
I'm working on it. I gotta go.
Mike sits and smiles at Abby.
Where's Rick?
I sent him home. I thought maybe you and I could celebrate on our own. Here, give some of that.
A drink.
And what exactly are we celebrating?
Hello, Craig Ferguson. I was just on it. Maybe you saw it.
I heard about the offer from CBS.
Well, then, maybe you heard I turned it down.
You did?
He nods.
Why?
Jonah, you know, he needs me around. I may not be the best father figure out there, but I'm the only one he's got, and I don't want to half-ass it all the way from San Francisco.
Well, I think that's a very good decision.
Thank you. Now, can we stop talking about work and maybe relax, drink, enjoy? God.
Abby sips her drink.
Tell me about the doozy. You know the woman who broke your heart?
You are just totally trying to kill my buzz.
No, I'm not. I'm just interested in what makes you you.
Well, for your information, it was more than just one. It was more like a parade. Codependent girls, unfaithful girls, depressed girls, narcissistic girls, phony girls, girls who, it turned out, didn't actually like me. By the time I had 30, I realized that you can only have so many lousy relationships before you figure out there's no such thing as a good one.
Oh, come on. You can't really believe there's no such thing as a good relationship.
To my very core.
A waitress walks up.
Hello. Can I get you something?
I'll have one of those, please.
Okay, mojito, sure. Would you like anything else?
Yeah, some water.
Okay, would you like still or sparkling?
Tap water's good. Thanks.
Tap, all right.
Mike looks at Abby.
What? It's the exact same thing, isn't it?
Abby smiles thoughtfully.
So I've been told.
Come on, let's dance. No, I'm serious. I've seen your spazzy dance. Now I want to see the real thing.
No, really, I can't dance like
that. I can. Kind of.
He takes her by the hand and throws his jacket aside.
Oh, Mike, no. No.
Mike leads Abby onto the dance floor and spins her. He turns and ducks under her arm and pulls her close. They smile and dance together, back and forth. Mike spins Abby and leads her. She steps away, holding his hands, and returns with her back to him. They sink down, moving their shoulders seductively from side to side. Mike and Abby clasp hands and hold each other round the waist. They turn round and round, moving smoothly to the music. Abby leans back on Mike's arm and they dance with their hands held palm to palm. They hold hands above their heads, and Mike sinks down. Abby sways rhythmically to the music as Mike caresses her hair and runs his hands down her sides. Abby spins out, swishing her hair round. Mike pulls her close, and they continue to dance, smiling happily. Abby wraps her arms around Mike's neck, and they dance close. He spins her back and forth and pulls her closer. Abby and Mike's noses almost touch. They gaze at each other with their mouths slightly open, as if they're about to kiss. Abby blinks, surprised.
We have an early flight tomorrow. We should go.
Mike forces himself to nod.
We should go.
Abby smiles nervously and heads off. Mike follows, looking dazed. Abby carries her shoes as she walks with Mike to an elevator. He presses the call button. Mike turns and faces Abby. They both fidget awkwardly. They step into the elevator and stand side by side. Mike presses buttons and loosens his jacket.
So the car is gonna pick us up downstairs tomorrow at 8. Do you want to call you?
No, I've got a wake-up call.
Yeah, good idea. Yeah. I had a really good time tonight.
Me too.
She flashes a smile at him.
My floor?
Yeah.
See you tomorrow.
8 o'clock.
8 o'clock.
They hug.
Good night.
Good night. Oh.
He stops, the doors closing.
Good night.
Yeah, good night.
They hug again.
You have fun.
Yeah.
Mike and Abby suddenly wrap their arms around each other and kiss hungrily. Mike presses Abby against the edge of the open door.
I guess I should go, huh?
The doors close.
Good night.
Mike's mouth hangs open and he walks off looking shocked. Abby lets herself into her room, looking equally surprised. She lets her jacket and bag fall to the floor, drops her key on a table, and flops onto a couch, frowning. She takes off her shoes and flings them aside.
What the hell was that? Why do I want to do it again?
Abby leaps to her feet, smooths out her tight-fitting beige dress and goes to the door. She opens the door and looks horrified. It's Colin.
Miss me?
Colin!
You were expecting someone else?
No!
They kiss.
Since you couldn't come to Lake Tahoe, I decided to come to you.
Oh, how did you know I was here?
Joy told me. I just started thinking about all the stuff we were going to do there, and decided I couldn't wait. A little champagne?
Yeah.
So happy to be here. Oh, yes. What's wrong?
Nothing. You just surprised me.
You told me you were spontaneous.
Yes, I did.
Have a little something else on its way up for you. You are going to love it.
Oh, my God.
We tell you, it comes out so fast, right? Oh, wow. I guess we have to get naked sooner than I thought.
I'll get you a towel.
Colin's shirt is covered in champagne. He takes it off, revealing his toned chest. Mike marches along a corridor. He stops and turns round, then turns back and keeps walking.
Abby,
He turns again and gestures emphatically.
Abby, I really, really want to do that again, and not just tonight. Fuck! Not up, Chadway. Come on, you can do this.
Mike walks up to Abby's door and knocks. Colin opens up, topless.
Hey, hey, you're not room service. How you doing, man?
Hey, to see you. I just came by to tell Abby about the change in our flight time, but I'll come by later.
Abby stares at Mike.
Hey.
Hey.
What are you doing here?
Flight's changed. 8 o'clock. Morning. I told you that already. So long day, big day. Okay, I'm just leaving out.
Abby goes into the room, then quickly re-emerges and runs down the corridor after Mike.
Mike. Hey, mate.
He stops and turns to face her.
He came to surprise me.
Yeah, how convenient.
No, I thought it was you at the door.
I guess we're all interchangeable.
Abby frowns.
I taught you well.
Hey, maybe you could even host the show.
Abby steps closer to Mike and stares at him intensely.
Tell me what happened in the elevator. Should I tell Colin to go?
Mike shakes his head.
No. No, I pull up anger now. You worked damn hard to get him here.
That's it? That's all you have to say?
What do you want me to say?
The truth is ugly, isn't it?
That's what I've been trying to tell you.
Abby's smile gives way to a hardened expression.
I'll see you.
Abby watches him go with an anxious, thoughtful expression. Mike wanders off with his hands in his pockets. Abby returns to her room. Abby walks into the room. Colin's sitting on the edge of the bed wearing a fresh, unbuttoned shirt.
Sorry about that.
No, honestly, no worries. Come here. Listen, the rest of the night is ours. To the first of many romantic evenings to come.
Colin sips and Abby gulps her champagne.
Whoa. Okay.
Yeah. Colin, why do you like me?
Oh. Wow. You're beautiful. You're smart. You never criticize. You know what? You never try to control the situation. And I've got to say, it's a breath of fresh air because I know so many women who are total control freaks, and it's a nightmare. And I just love that you're not like that.
But I am. I am just like that.
Wait, what do you mean?
Well, this should be chilled. That you know that. And as horrible as it sounds, I was editing that speech the entire time you were giving it. And the time you fed me caviar, I was in physical pain. I hate being fed like a toddler. That's how much of a control freak I am. But I couldn't show you any of that because who would love someone like that? No one.
With tears in her eyes, Abby steps away, drinks, and sits. Colin looks uncomfortable and buttons up his shirt. Abby puts down her glass and steps towards him.
I'm so sorry. You are a great guy, you really are. Which is why I have to tell you that I have not been myself. Not for one second of the time that we've been dating.
And who have you been?
The girl some idiot told me to be.
Colin stares at Abby. She reaches up and undoes her long blonde hair extension piece. Colin frowns as she takes it off, leaving her real hair, which falls tousled onto her shoulders. She runs her hand over her hair and sighs. Morning. At KSXP, Stuart looks anxious.
Morning, Freddy.
Abby walks up to Stuart.
What did you do to him?
I didn't do anything. He missed the flight all on his own.
He quit this morning. I just got a smug call from the local CBS affiliate saying they'd close the deal with him. Corporate's having a shit fit. What the hell happened?
He quit to go to one of our local competitors? We don't need Mike Chadway. Half-wit troglodytes are a dime a dozen.
Well, you better be right, because you got to find me another one by the end of the week or else we're canceled.
I'll find one by the end of the day.
Not really. That's just a joke, everybody.
I can't believe I allowed myself to feel anything for him.
Well, you felt enough something to break up with Colin. I'm sorry. Okay, here are the Mike Chadway replacements.
Yes, no, yes, no, no, fuck no.
Fuck no, all right.
So, what do you think of the new set?
At the other station.
I love it. KSXP retained the contract right to your old segment title, so we retitled you Morning Madness with Mike. Love it.
And this is Joe, your new producer.
Hi.
A squat young guy.
You know what I like best about you, Joe? Is I don't want to have sex with you at all.
I'm relieved to hear that.
Giving myself to you
giving myself two chains. Sunlight glistens on a lake. Mountains rise up on the horizon. Several colorful hot air balloons hang in midair with baskets suspended beneath. Abby Joy and a cameraman film The Ugly Truth with its new host, Jack Magnum. Gawky Jack stands in a hot air balloon. Flames spew from the burner above his head.
Hey, how's my face? Is it too shiny? Which side is better, right? Left? Full frontal?
They're all great. Can we go over your intro one more time? I'm Jack Magnum, and this is...
The Ugly Truth.
He points his finger like a gun.
Okay, let's maybe lose the gun thing.
What? Gun's my signature move.
Unless the NRA is paying your mortgage this month, I say lose the effing gun. All right, we're live in 5, 4, 3...
In the control room...
Think this guy's any good?
He better be.
I'm Jack Magnum, and this is the Ugly Truth. Peace.
Oh, Jesus, he's going political.
Okay, so we'll do a couple questions with the balloon pilot about how often couples get it on in flight, and then we're out.
Got it.
Hey, check it out, your replacement song.
Jack Magnum.
Wait, what?
How's it going out there, Jack?
Your replacement?
Most of you are watching this show so you can learn how to get chicks. Well, let me assure you, you're in good hands. You're looking at a guy who personally has had sex with over 137 women. Most of them conscious.
Oh, this is beautiful.
Now, we're here at the Balloon Festival, and I'm supposed to be telling you about how men are full of hot air. But I think we all know it's the ladies that are full of crap. Just because she says no doesn't mean she means no.
Oh.
If that were the case, I'd have only 90 women.
Abby yanks him out.
Okay. All right.
What the hell?
Did you? Oh.
Welcome back. Looks like we're experiencing some technical difficulty.
Yeah, when you have a wine festival.
I got it!
Abby gets in the basket.
Hi! We're back. I'm sorry, but Jack Magnum will no longer be able to do the Ugly Truth. Which should really come as no surprise, because men are completely unreliable.
What is she doing? Yes, yes, Harold, yes. Yes, I know. We're fixing it.
Take Mike Chadwick, for instance. He up and quit the show without so much as a word. You think you know what men are going to do. You think you know what men want to do. But when it comes right down to that moment where they actually need to step up and, I don't know, make a move, they chicken out.
Oh, I am all over this.
Where are you going? We're live in two.
It's going great, isn't it?
The big, strong, brave men that we've all been reading about in novels and watching in movies since we were 9 years old, that's a fallacy. They don't exist. Men are not strong. Men are not brave. Men are afraid.
It's all part of the show. It's sort of an Andy Kaufman type of thing that we're doing.
Even if they have a moment in a hotel elevator and it's totally romantic and full of potential, men are incapable of copping to it. Because... why? Men are weak.
Let me tell you something about women.
Huh. Hey.
Women would have us believe that they are the victims, that we break their hearts for sport.
I thought he quit.
That's crap.
You see, Bob, I told you we'd get him back.
They say they want true love, but all they want is a checklist. Is he perfect? Is he handsome? Is he a doctor? For you men who fit the criteria, don't kid yourselves, because they're not sleeping with you. They're sleeping with a carefully calculated set of venal choices. Money over substance, looks over soul, polish over principles. No gesture, no matter how real or romantic, will ever compensate for a really impressive list of credentials.
This coming from a man who's never made a gesture other than this one.
Oh, so the elevator wasn't a gesture?
The elevator was a moment of passion, followed by a moment of panic on your part, apparently.
Panic? I came by your room.
Yes, and then you ran away.
That wasn't panic, sweetheart. That was an unwillingness to compete with the walking checklist that was in your bed. You should be thanking me.
We got 10 seconds.
Oh. Ready to soar up and away?
Well, there you have it, folks. That's the ugly truth. A girl in heat for two guys will always choose the one with the better resume.
That is bullshit.
The balloon fires up.
And we're out.
God. I hate you so much, I just swore on live television.
No, you hate yourself for being so shallow.
Off we go.
Where are we going?
I'm
I'm not going anywhere with you.
Mike leans over and sees how high they are.
Oh, well, that's a shocker. No, you're bowing.
I wouldn't recommend that.
Keep rolling on the onboard camera.
A camera on the basket frame films Abby and Mike.
What are you... Oh, my God, what is wrong with you?
They stand grumpily side by side.
They don't even know they're on the air, do they?
Uh-uh.
Is there any way to tell them that they're on the air?
Nope. Oh, they're gonna curse.
I know it.
As the balloon rises, Mike looks around. Many more balloons float in the clear blue sky. Below is the mirror-like surface of the lake surrounded by lush forest. Abby looks around. The pilot holds up a bottle of champagne.
So who wants champagne?
Mike looks up.
Oh, I know. I've got a great idea. Why don't we pass the time with you telling me how much fun you and Colin had having sex in Los Angeles?
I broke up with Colin in Los Angeles, you jackass.
On our left, you'll see the High Sierra.
What?
Glistening in the morning sunlight.
Oh, yeah, that's got your interest. Well, if you think we're going to finish what we started in L.A., you are out of your mind. You lost your chance.
Oh, come on. I never had a chance with you.
And to our right over here, you'll see the lovely Sacramento River winding its way through the diachromatic landscape.
Could you please stop talking? Thank you. You're right. I had a momentary lapse in judgment when I thought you were more than you are, but you aren't, clearly.
Oh, yeah? What does that mean?
I'm like Chad Way. I like girls in jello. I like to fuck like a monkey. Don't fall in love. It's scary.
Oh, for God's sakes, there's the first one.
Stuart loosens his collar.
Yeah, it is scary. It's terrifying. Especially when I'm in love with a psycho like you.
I am not a psycho!
Love?
Oh!
I just told you that I loved you, and all you heard was psycho. Well, you're the definition of neurotic.
No, the definition of neurotic is a person who suffers from anxiety, obsessive thoughts, compulsive acts, and physical ailments without any objective evidence.
Shut up. Yet again, I just told you I'm in love with you, and you're standing here giving me a vocabulary lesson.
Abby's expression softens, and she looks away for a moment. She looks at Mike and narrows her eyes skeptically.
You're in love with me. Why?
He just stares at her.
Beats the shit out of me. But I am.
Mike looks away and Abby studies him for a moment. Abby clasps her hands around his face and kisses him passionately. They wrap their arms around each other. As they embrace, Mike turns Abby round and they lean against the side of the basket. He waves his hand dismissively at the pilot, who turns and looks the other way. That night in bed...
Oh, Mike. Oh, you're amazing.
I am.
Oh, you're a god. Oh.
Really?
Oh, God.
Oh. Mike turns the light on and sits up, soaked in sweat. Abby beams at him.
Am I really that good? Are you just faking it?
You'll never know.
She pounces on him and turns off the light.